It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 170 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
In last week's episode, me and John kind of laid down how to look at value of a ship and measure it on a bunch of different axes so you can determine whether a ship's a good value or not, looking at its point cost.
Yeah, and I think that episode's going to be a bit more informative than this one. Here we're just, you know, throwing our, very biased opinions at these ships and seeing what we want to go up and what we want to go down.
Yeah, so today we're actually going to look at point costs as they stand right now and where we'd like to see changes in the upcoming points update, which is just under a week away.
Yeah, and unlike Fantasy Flight, we won't keep you waiting. Let's just get right to it. All right, so I think in general, the best way to go through this is kind of looking at each faction. But before we go into the factions, I think there's, you know, some few lists or list elements that really stand out in needing to go up in points costs. I mean, I think in general with the points updates, you know, the purpose is to, you know, see what is gravitating towards the top of the meta, what's becoming, you know, too frequent, and upping the points on them to balance things out a bit.
And I think balance is a good perspective to have on it, because I think there can be a tendency where anytime anything gets really good in X-Wing, people just have this weird immediate reaction of, oh, we need to nerf that so it's no longer viable and other things can come into play. I don't think that's really the goal of the points balancing. I think it would be better to create a, you know, more healthy environment. I don't want to see anytime there's a good mechanic or good list in the game that it just gets removed because it's good. Like, you should have elements in the game that are good. Otherwise, you'd have a really weird competitive environment if you just keep eliminating everything that's performing well.
Right. I mean, it feels good when a list performs well, you know, when you're playing it. But when that's, you know, the only thing you face, that becomes an issue.
So I think our discussion here is going to really focus on elements that we think should change to make the game better overall, not just because we have a vendetta against a certain list. Even though I definitely have a vendetta against Initiative 5 Resistance Aces.
I mean, nothing in the Resistance needs to be changed at all. Just leave them alone. We'll get
if
to
anything,
that, though.
If anything, your Danger Zone list needs to have a points decrease so you can fit more ships in it, right?
All right, I need to fit more danger in there. I need room for a Resistance shuttle, too. I don't want to cut any ships for that.
Okay, so let's start by looking at what are kind of the big offenders in the game right now, either lists or specific cards and ships. That are causing problems and kind of creating a limited, unhealthy environment.
Yeah, I mean, for me, number one is Leia Organa herself, you know, super force user Mary Poppins.
Yeah, and this has been kind of a funny card because it was available right from the launch of the game. It started at 8 points initially, and I don't think I really saw anybody flying it. They dropped it down to 2 points, which has proven to be a incredibly good deal, probably an incredibly broken cost for the card. So basically, this shows up in every top-performing Rebel list, and we're actually seeing a lot of these Rebel efficiency lists show up in top cuts and winning big tournaments.
Yeah, so Rebel efficiency lists have really been dominating this season, you know, in Extended and Hyperspace. And a lot of this has been on the backbone of Leia.
Yeah, Leia's ability to, you know, let ships treat their red maneuvers as white maneuvers has paired really well with a lot of the other efficient Rebel ships that get put in these lists. It pairs really well with both of those named pilot B-Wings, Ten Num and Braylon Strom, both of whom depend on having stress to trigger their abilities, but often don't want to actually, you know, have the stress or be limited in their maneuver options. So Leia gives them the option to turn their, you know, red 2K into a white 2K so they can still focus and link into a barrel roll, get the stress, and have full mods.
Yeah, and then it also makes you know, some of the efficient Rebel aces like Wedge Antilles or Luke Skywalker, the only really upgrade that those guys need to be really powerful is having Leia somewhere in the list. When those aces get to do their K-turn or Talon roll and still get actions, that's incredibly powerful.
And I think it's become quite clear that like these kind of rebel efficiency lists are too prevalent in the game. And I honestly don't find them particularly fun either to fly or to fly against. And I think that's a big problem when you're looking at a competitive metagame that should at least be interesting. If my matches are kind of more boring and procedural, I don't think that's good for the health of the game. And I think Leia being so cheap is kind of causing that to happen.
Right. And I think, you know, those red maneuvers, you know, your K turns and Talon rolls are, you know, a really interesting and exciting part of the game. And when you take away the cost of them, those make the games a lot less exciting.
So, Carson, where should we hope to see Leia go in the point change?
I mean, I'm hoping for 8 points. I would be happy with anything at 6 or higher.
Yeah, I think part of the debate there would be it depends on how it impacts the other Rebel ships, where if she just sees, you know, a slight point increase, there's actually a fair bit of space to play in those Rebel efficiency lists point-wise, and they don't actually need to take any kind of bid, really. So even if she goes up just a few points, there'll be a way to fit her into an almost just as efficient list. So I think you'd either have to see a pretty substantial increase on her up to 8 or beyond, or if the point increase is slight, you'd have to see those other efficient Rebel ships like Wedge or the B-Wings also go up in points. Which I don't necessarily want to see the B-Wings go up in points. Like, I don't think they're that problematic on their own. I think it's that in combination with Leia, they're problematic.
Right, and I don't think Rebel efficiency should be an unplayable list, but Leia gives them an amazing counterplay to Ace lists, which would be traditionally what would be advantaged against the efficiency ships. But being able to flip around when the Ace gets behind you and still have mods to attack them, it's just an incredibly powerful counterplay, and I think, you know, you should have to make some sacrifices in list building to include that.
I think we can both agree then that she should see that point increase. At least up to 8 would be good. I really don't want to see those B-Wings have to go up in points, because I really don't think they're the heart of the problem, and I love B-Wings, so I'm kind of sad that they're viable in that they're part of kind of a broken list, but I'd like to see them be viable beyond that.
Right. All right, so moving on to the other big offenders, we have TIE Phantoms, you know, particularly the spam of Phantoms, you know, whether it's 3 in another ship or 4 of them, most of them having Juke. You know, we saw a slight points change in January to the Phantoms. You know, Phantom Flight was aware that 4 of them with Juke was a problem. So Juke went up a point, and that meant you couldn't fit 4 of them with Juke. Still turns out one of the best lists you can fly.
Yeah, and I think that kind of creates an interesting problem, because we're still seeing 4 Phantom lists make top cuts and do really well competitively pretty frequently now. They haven't really been slowed down since the point increase, and I think that creates an interesting problem, because most of the TIE Phantom lists we're seeing now are 3 TIE Phantoms with Juke, and then, you know, maybe a 4th TIE Phantom without Juke or with Crackshot or something. Which, you know, creates the problem of, if you really want to hit that mechanic, either we need to see a substantial increase to Juke, which wouldn't be fair to other, you know, not abusive Juke using ships, or a pretty substantial increase to the generic so that you couldn't even run 4 of them in a list anymore.
Right. And it's pretty interesting, because a single TIE Phantom, you know, it's fine for its point costs. It's a pretty cool ship, but it's nothing broken. It's only when you take them in weight does it become incredibly powerful.
Do you think it'll be a problem, though, if we do see any of these increases to prevent players from running 4 TIE Phantoms? Do you think a list that would have 3 of these TIE Phantoms with Juke and then some other cheaper ship, do you think that would still be as problematic?
I don't think so. So part of the thing is that the Phantoms with their cloak mechanic get to just hide on their board edge and really force you to set up a really optimal engagement on them when, you know, they can move laterally and most ships can't. That's a really difficult thing to do. And so if you have another ship in there, that's going to make it a lot more difficult for the Phantom players, because it won't move like a Phantom.
Yeah, I guess that breaks up kind of the synergy they have of part of the problem of TIE Phantoms being that they can kind of create a mobile fortress, which fortressing is not good in X-Wing. Anywhere where you've got your ships basically standing in a block and not doing anything, holding their position until they have the opponent approach, and then they can move in. That's not great for X-Wing, and TIE Fandoms kind of get around the official rules against fortressing by being able to move in a block around the board. So they're still moving, but they're not really making any advancement towards the other side or towards the other players' ships, which is just not a healthy place for the game to be. So if you have to slot in a different fourth ship there, that's going to break up that synergy where that ship's not going to be able to move in that same way.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, I think a 2 to 3 point increase on the TIE Phantoms, kind of across all of the pilots, I think helps a lot. That means you can't really have a super efficient 4 Phantomless, and if you're taking 3 of them, your fourth ship is, you know, you're not going to have as many good options there.
Yeah, and I really don't want to see an increase to Juke, because I still think Juke is a really cool card.
Right, absolutely.
It's only a problem because of the ship ability on the Phantoms, getting that free evade when they decloak.
I mean, I would be fine if Juke went down to 4 and, you know, the Phantoms went up respectively.
All right, so the last big offender is one that's really offender just because of the mechanical interaction of the cards. Han Solo using inertial dampeners and the R2-D2 crew card.
Yeah, inertial dampeners, I think, is generally a pretty bad card. So I don't want to see that go up. But the ability to spend a shield with Han to not move, and then, you know, because you're already next to an asteroid, when you get it back with R2-D2, you can reroll the negative effect of R2-D2. So you're getting that shield back at basically no cost. That's not great. I think that R2-D2 crew definitely needs to go up. I don't want regen to be a tier one strategy. And I think Han Solo went down too much in the last points. So I think if him and R2-D2 go up enough, I think that should be fine.
Yeah, so one of the challenges, though, with the Han Solo seeing a points increase here is that there's still a fair bit of room to play in this list. So even if we see some, you know, substantial increases to both Han and R2-D2 and maybe another card in the list, you still have a lot of room to play there. Now, it won't be as good because you'll have less resources to get. You'll have less card options. So I'm actually really interested to see how this interaction is handled, because I fully expect it to be addressed in the points update. I'm just not sure what form that's going to take.
Right. I mean, and so if you up just Han, you know, the other Falcons can do pretty similar stuff here. You don't get the Han reroll. I think that R2-D2 crew is a big part of the problem. So I'd like to see that one be addressed for sure.
Yeah, I think of all the big offenders right now, this one has the least clear path to a fix. But hopefully something will happen that, you know, gets this kind of negative game element out of the metagame, or at least weakens it enough so that you can actually compete with it at lower initiatives.
All right, so let's move on to kind of the more minor changes we want to see across the factions.
Yeah, so let's look at Rebels first, because Rebels is probably the most commonly played faction right now. We obviously already talked about Leia crew going down, but there's a couple other elements in the faction that I think could use a points increase.
Right, and we mentioned Wedge a little bit when we were talking about Leia, and I think he's my other target here within the Rebels that I want to see go up. I don't like it when Initiative 6 pilots are, you know, just really affordable and, oh yeah, why not? Why don't I just throw Wedge in my list? I think when you take Initiative 6, it should come at a pretty heavy cost, and Wedge really is not paying that cost.
Yeah, and it's kind of tricky too, because Wedge, thanks to the S-Foils, you know, config card, you have some pretty good repositioning options. He's got a really strong offensive ability, being able to reduce how many dice your opponent rolls on defense. That's really powerful, and he's only 52 points right now. Which, I mean, you compare that to some of the other values you see in the other factions, and Wedge is a clear winner on value.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of people are thinking that the B-Wings should go up because, you know, Braylon and Ted Nub are also in these lists being successful. But it's really actually pretty healthy for the game when Initiative 4 ships are good. That means, you know, there's a lot of play around the Initiative, either on the low end trying to go more efficient than them, or on the high end, you know, trying to out-reposition them. And so when your best ships are, you know, Initiative 3 or 4, that's pretty good for the game. And so I'm pretty happy with Braylon, you know, staying as is. It's, you know, Wedge being too efficient that's really, I think, more of the issue.
Yeah, and I think Wedge is part of a category where I think when the Initiative 6s are too cheap, It just creates weird game environments where you can't even really play around them by going lower initiative when the value is so good at six. You don't want to bother going to two because there's so many benefits of being at six.
Right. You know, when we look at some other initiative six aces like Poe or Anakin, those guys are pretty expensive. And so when you go efficiency against them and they land in the arcs of multiple ships and you lose them, you probably lose that game because that's such a heavy points loss you just took.
But aces like Wedge or even Soontir Fel are cheap enough that when you lose them, you still probably have enough assets on the table that you can still, you know, pull back the game and still have a chance at winning.
Right. And so I guess the other thing within the Rebels is, you know, at the beginning of the season, we saw the, you know, generic low initiative Rebels be very successful. You know, the generic Y-Wings or X-Wings. I'm at the bottom of the initiative. You know, do you think those need to go up at all?
Yeah, I think there is a kind of a small problem with the generics right now, either the Y-Wings or the X-Wings or even the Warden Squadron K-Wings. It's kind of a tricky topic to approach where, to a certain degree, I don't want you not to be able to run lists with all generics because I think that's a good starting point for players to learn the game. But you really enter a problem where when just the weight of the attack dice or the weight of the hit points makes the list really hard to beat at any skill level. I have always felt that all generic spam lists should be something that is okay, but when you get to the higher levels of play, it becomes really difficult because they're just other tools and better lists that you can fly to work around. They're kind of like, you know, spam mechanics. So to that end, I would like to see, I mean, generic Y-Wings went down a lot of points effectively in the last update. We saw all the generic pilots go down by 1 point. We saw a veteran turret gunner go down by two and ion cannon turret go down by two. So if you're running all those cards together, that's effectively a 5 point drop. So you can get those two shot ion cannon Y-Wings for very few points.
Right. And I think we've seen a veteran turret gunner and whether it's an ion cannon or dorsal turret be pretty abused in a lot of different chassis. So I think I'd rather see those upgrades go up a bit. Instead of the generic Y-Wing.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an argument to be made there because I also don't want to see, it's such an iconic ship. I would like to see it still stick around in the game. I just think like the status as is, whenever you have ion effects in the game, those are really powerful. Being able to determine what your opponent's maneuver is, limit their maneuver and action options. That's a really powerful mechanic and it should not be a super cost-effective one. You should have to pay a pretty substantial cost, either in opportunity or points, to get mechanics like that to work.
Absolutely. Totally agree. All right, moving on to the Imperials.
Yeah, I think we should start. We talked about Wedge first with the Rebels, so let's talk a little bit about Soontir Fel.
Yeah, I think Wedge and Soontir definitely are at the same issue here, where those Initiative 6 pilots are just too cheap. You know, Soontir is a little bit more high-risk, high-reward ship. With only 3 hit points, you do have to fly in pretty well. But even then, you know, that Initiative 6 repositioning, it's not too difficult to dodge arcs with that when you have access to a really good dial, double repositioning actions. I think at 52 points, that's just a little bit too much of a steal.
Well, and you can also fit so many great support effects in with that Soontir Fel at such a low cost. You can fit in shuttles with coordinate actions. You can fit in Emperor Palpatine to get some extra modification. So I think Soontir is just way too cost effective here. And it creates a lot of the same problems we see with Wedge being too cheap is when those I6s are too cheap, it just creates an unhealthy environment where anything lower initiative that's not taking a bid and that, you know, has at least one I6 in it is going to have problems.
Now, is Darth Vader also an issue?
So this one's a tricky one because so a lot of what Darth Vader has going for him is really great. 3 force and an amazing multi-action pilot ability, spending that force to get extra actions, is really strong. He pairs really well with that hate force power where he can get that force back. Makes him hit really hard. I think, though, part of the problem I see is like maybe he's too inexpensive, but at the same time, he can fall apart pretty quickly when he gets shot at. He's only got 5 hit points.
Right. I think he's probably a little bit too cheap, but not by much, just a point or two.
I mean, the Vader I've been running right now is currently at 73 points, and you get afterburners and fire control there, which that is a bit of a steal there. He should probably be closer to 80 points and start to get in kind of that tie defender pricing range.
Right. I mean, most Poes are mid 70s to 80 points. And I think Vader should be a little closer to Poe in cost.
Though at the same time, though, for the tie advanced, I would like to see a little bit more attention for the lower initiative tie advance.
Oh, absolutely.
I've occasionally seen a Merrick Steel out on the tables, and it's fun when that ability procs, or it's not fun, I guess, if you're on the receiving end. But being able to pick crits, that feels like a fun mechanic. And he's also initiative 5, so he's not, you know, non-viable. But I would like to see some, you know, point decreases for, you know, the generic tie advance, at least maybe a couple of the names.
Yeah, I think in general with the Empire, those low initiative ships, because their aces are just so good, I think the low initiative ships tend to suffer. Because I think it's generally not the chassis of the ship that's really good, it's just the high initiative that the Imperials get.
Yeah, and I've always been a fan of, while I complained about, you know, generic spam on the Rebel side, I do like to see a pretty wide space between generics and named pilots. Just because I feel like that should be a real decision you have to make, where you go for efficiency or you go for cool abilities and higher initiative.
Right. Now, the exception I draw with that is in the TIE Swarm, just your standard TIE LN fighters. You know, within those mid initiatives, we have crazy powerful abilities like Iden and Howl that, you know, while expensive for a TIE fighter, I think are still a little too cheap.
Yeah, I never thought this would be a problem we could see, having TIE Swarms with too many options coming out of first edition. But, I mean, both Howl Runner and Iden Versio are really powerful abilities. Iden in particular was one that I definitely underestimated when the game first launched, but being able to basically just cancel an attack your opponent does is such a
powerful
swing to a
game. It's not just any attack, it's your best attack, whichever one's going to deal the most damage.
Right, and that's such a powerful game-swinging ability that I think, yeah, we probably need to see a little bit of a points hike on them, just so they don't have so many options there. Because, I mean, at the moment, too, you can run TIE Swarm that can shoot at a high initiative and then still have all these awesome bonus mechanics.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as big of an issue as the Rebel efficiency, but I think it is still in need of going up a few points.
All right, so let's look at Scum and Villainy. Which is in kind of an interesting place right now. The stuff I'd probably like to be good is not that good right now.
Right. I mean, so there's really only one list within Scum that's really performing well consistently, and that's any list using Drea Renthal. I think the most popular one uses 3 Skurgs, also using Veteran Turret Gunner and the turrets. But I think this Drea is just a little too cheap. You know, like we talked about Howl Runner having a powerful ability, I think Drea's is even better. And being on an 8 hit point ship is really nice.
And when you can run Drea with also other high hit point ships, that can create some, you know, really rough games where if that variance just swings a little bit so that they're getting those evades on that single die, it takes so long to bring them down that even if you bring a good high initiative list, you might just lose out for, you know, little fault of your own.
Right, so I think Drea is a cool piece for Scum. I don't want that to be their only successful strategy. So I think if we bring that down a bit, we can make some other strategies better. One ship that I really have my eye on with this points change is the Fang Fighters.
Yeah, and I think the biggest issue or the biggest question we could raise is that why does Fenrau at Initiative 6 cost 68 points when you can get Wedge, Antilles, or Soonterfell for just 52?
Right, and I actually think Fen has a pretty comparable ability to Wedge. You know, gain a dice versus someone losing a dice. That's pretty comparable. And, you know, they have similar actions. Yeah, you know, Fen has an extra agility, but Wedge has 2 more hit points, so I don't think that's really... I don't really know why there's a 16-point gap between these guys.
Well, and when you look at it, too, I mean, like, are you paying all those points just for that, you know, Concordia face-off ability, getting that evaded at range 1? Because, you know, all the Fangs in general do take a fair bit of damage. They've got linked actions, which is nice, but typically all they have for offense and defense is just a focus token. So if you catch them at range 2, they're going to probably take some damage. And they might not even hit you that hard if they have to spend their focus on defense.
Right. So there's two things I want to see for Fangs to help them be more viable. One is some points reduction. And I think Fen doesn't need the points reduction as much as some of the generics. I think 68 is pretty close to right. I think, you know, 66 or 65 might be a bit better. But I would also like to see these Fangs have access to a mod slot. You know, the upgrade pack comes with afterburners in there, but they can't equip it. And I think that would really help the Fangs, you know, getting that boost, close the gap, and still be able to do some other actions. I think that would help them be a lot more viable.
Well, and it would also be cool to see, you know, some of the lower initiative ships get a good point reduction too. If you're looking at like those I-4 generics, those are really expensive. Those come in at 50 points a pop, which if you compare that to other values, again, if you compare that to Wedge or Soontir Fel, you're paying 50 points for a generic initiative 4 versus a ship with I-6 and really good pilot abilities at just 2 points more. It seems pretty clear that they need to go down a little bit. Because again, ships at initiative 4, if they're good, that's okay, because there's room to play around them on either end, either on the high initiative end or on the low initiative end.
Right. I mean, in these initiative 4, Fangs won't really be arc dodging all that much. They're much more going to be jousting. And with just 4 hit points, that's going to be a pretty exciting joust one way or the other. So I think that'd be pretty good for the game to see these Fangs be a lot more playable. All right. My last scum point here is a bit personal. I mean, so in January, we saw the Hawk 290 take a very fair and deserved points increase. You know, particularly that Moldy Crow title went way up, you know, which made all of their abilities cover or double the area and really increase their attack output. And so I'm fine with Moldy Crow Hawks being pretty expensive. I think I would like to see the viability of the non-titled Hawk 290s be more playable. So I think a minor points decrease just on the ships themselves would be good, and keep the title where it's at or even relatively increase it. I think that would be pretty
Anything it's needed on both the Rebel and the Scum side?
Yeah, I think they got hit equally. And the hit was noted, and Hawks kind of have ceased seen play, with a few exceptions, of course, but you know, they're really powerful abilities, but on a 5-hit point, 2-dice ship, I think that's probably okay.
Yeah, I think that seems fair. It's kind of like some other ships there where I don't want the titled ones to be prevalent again because they were kind of causing problems. But seeing the generics, I mean, they're only 5 hit points, 2 agility, so that's a really manageable threat. They could see a point decrease.
Right, and with just one arc, like, you have to work pretty hard to get those abilities working.
All right, so a few more factions to hit here. Let's look at the First Order, which is kind of in an interesting place right now. It's posting okay tournament results with a handful of lists, but it just doesn't have that many options right now.
Right. I mean, I think, yeah, most of the ships are pretty fair. You know, the Upsilons are good, but not really anything abusive. Kylo Ren is very good still. And even, you know, we've seen some of the generic silencers do pretty well. And the Special Forces, you know, TIE Fighters, particularly Quick Draw, are doing pretty good. I think the one ship that I would like to see be pushed a bit more would be the TIE FO. Kind of what's supposed to be its staple ship, right?
Yeah, we really don't see these much at all. I think a lot of the emphasis is on Kylo or on Quick Draw. It would be cool to see a points decrease here. I think when you compare the FO to the standard TIE Fighter over on the Empire side, the generic on the TIE Fighter side, the lowest one is 23 points. The lowest on the FO side is 28 points, I believe. So you're seeing a 5-point jump there. They get a shield and they get the target lock action. And not much else is that different about them.
Right. I mean, and when you're looking at the generics, like, having that lower cost is really what's important, so I can take a lot of these. You know, you wouldn't pay to put shield upgrades on all of your Imperial TIE Fighters. And so having the First Order really suffer for having, you know, I guess, better TIE Fighters means we just don't see their TIE fighters at all. I think that's not great. I don't think they should cost the same as Imperial TIE fighters, but I think they can go down a bit.
Yeah, I think at least a couple points would be fine. That would be in the healthy range still. And there'd still be a little bit of a reason to go on the Imperial side and take those TIE fighters.
Now, I do have a big exception here, and that's the Muse pilot, the one that clears the stress. That one can go up in points for all I care.
Well, so what is your vendetta against Muse?
So Muse encourages fortressing strategies, particularly with upsilons, where you can just bump into the upsilon and it clears the stress from the upsilon doing a stop maneuver. And so they can just sit in a corner all game until you've made a mistake with your engagement, and then they can shred you apart. Really takes away the weakness of an upsilon. And of course, we feel that fortressing is not X-Wing. And I like all my games to be X-Wing.
Yep, fair. Fortressing is not X-Wing. I mean, overall, though, looking at the First Order, I wouldn't expect a lot of point increases for them. They're doing okay, and I think we'll see them do a lot better if we see a lot of the more broken, dare I say, mechanics in the other factions go up a little bit in points.
Right. I think in general, First Order is fair, which means when there's unfair stuff going on, they're not going to be as successful. And hopefully, you know, we don't see any announcements for new First Order ships, but hopefully there's some on the way.
Yeah, I would imagine with a new movie coming out in this current trilogy that there must be something, right?
Right? All right, moving on to Resistance. Everything goes down 10 points. Let's move on.
Case closed. Move on to Separatists. No, so I know you're a little biased because you love your Danger Zone list right now. Poe, Nia Num, and Lulo Lampar. Of those three pieces, and really of all that the Resistance
they're all
is bringing,
super fair. Yeah, continue.
Well, we talked about Lulo in last week's episode about the value you get from Lulo. Functions kind of like a more expensive ace, but, you know, it can blow up if you get put in the wrong position. So that's where you get your value from. Even still, at just 38 points right now, I think that's a little too cheap for Lulo. I think we do need to see a bit of a points increase, just because the value is probably a little too good.
Yeah, so I guess my point here is that ships like Lulo are the ships that should be good. Lulo's a skill-intensive ship where you can use that ability wrong, and, you know, two agility protecting four hit points does not stay on the table long. But he does seem to appear in every winning Resistance list.
Yeah, and I think, on the defensive end, you can fall apart pretty quickly if you do Lulo wrong, but I think the offensive potential you get out of Lulo is just so insanely good that when it's on, right? And it kind of ruins the viability of anything lower initiative, where when you do have the decision-making and you can get double repositioning from Lulo, initiative fours or lowers really don't stand a chance because the offense on Lulo is so good and you barely have to pay any points to get it. I'm not saying that Lulo needs to be crazy more expensive, but I think a shift towards, you know, from 38 to maybe 40 or 41 points still keeps Lulo viable to play. It just ruins a little bit of the bid you might take on the Resistance side.
Yeah, I mean, so I think, you know, as is with no points changes in other factions, Lulo does not need to go up at all. But, you know, if we do see ships like Wedge and Soontir go up significantly, I think it's pretty fair to then follow Lulo go up. Because, you know, if those I6s aren't as prevalent, then Lulo could really dominate at I5 if no one's able to afford I6s. So the other thing with the Resistance is, you know, the large base ships haven't been performing too well with that faction. And FFG seem to want to push large base ships with their last points adjustment. I'm concerned they might continue to do that with the Resistance ships. And I think that would be a mistake since we are seeing a lot of new crew for the Resistance with that Resistance shuttle. I think that alone should be enough to help with those large base ships.
Yeah, I think some more crew options would make like the Star Fortress bomber more viable. I'd hate to see them, you know, go a little too aggressive on reducing points. large base side and then creating a problem that we're going to have to sit with until the next points update or an emergency points update, you know, after a few months.
Right. I could see that creating, you know, either a Leia situation or a Han situation.
Hopefully, though, I mean, hopefully FFG's kept that in mind, knowing that, the you know, the contents of the new expansion's coming out here. I guess we'll just have to see how they handle those large base ships. I'm not really sure which direction they should go or how big of an impact those crew cards are going to have.
All right, let's move on to the Separatist Alliance. I feel like this faction is pretty similar to the First Order here, where, you know, they just don't have the ship diversity, and that's part of why they're struggling.
Yeah, because it seems like the point costs for most of the Separatist ships seem fine. I mean, the Sith Infiltrator is a pretty good value. So that's maybe on the low end, but it doesn't seem broken by any regard. And I think, you know, the Belbal Lab and the Trade Federation drones, all the Vulture droids, they seem okay where they're at.
Right. I don't want Vultures really going any cheaper.
And I think a lot of the problems the Belbal Lab has is just, you know, lowish initiative, which makes it hard for them to compete with a lot of the popular fives and sixes.
Right. And I think, you know, if the, you know, rebel efficiency gets brought down a few pegs and the TIE swarm gets hit a little bit, I think that the Vulture swarm will seem like a pretty good efficiency option.
Yeah. So honestly, I don't really expect, you know, much coming up or down in the Separatist faction. I guess we're just waiting for, you know, new ships to come out to, you know, bolster this faction a little bit more. Because I feel like on the competitive end, all we're really seeing do even a little bit well is just swarms of Vultures.
Right, or the double infiltrator, which I think is pretty fair points-wise.
Yeah, and I mean, the double infiltrator is initiative capped, so there's some good play around there if you have some sixes.
Right, and they don't even know what to do with all the points they have in that list. So lowering them, I don't know, would really help them at all.
All right, so let's get to the last faction here, and probably my favorite faction in the game right now. I've just been having a lot of fun with it. Republic, there's some good stuff and there's some bad stuff, and I think we probably want to see a fair number of changes here.
Right, so I don't think anything really needs to go up in the Republic faction. And the things that are doing well, I don't really want to see changed at all points-wise. I think there's, you know, the bottom generics on the Torrents and the Arcs are at a very good price point. I don't want to see those go down at all. And then when we look at the extreme end, Anakin in a 7B, I think is pretty fairly costed. I don't want to see him go down at all.
I think the overall take we'd have on this is that all, you know, for the Republic, all the middling ships, like your initiative, 3-4s, maybe some of the 5s, just need a little bit of help, maybe a point or two down. Because, you know, Anakin's great, Obi-Wan's great in the 7B, and then on the generic side, the ARC 170, the 104th Squadrons at 42 points is a good value. Same for the Gold Squadron Trooper and the Torrents. It's just like those middle pilots that are having a hard time.
Yeah, there's a pretty wild point spread between that affordable 25-point Torrent and then all the way up to 38 at the named end. What is that, Oddball?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know his name because he never sees table play.
He's so bad. Yeah, we need to see a lot of the name pilots I want to see go down in both the Torrent and the Ark.
Yeah, I think the Ark pilots are closer to right. You know, the big offender here are the dedicated pilots. So those initiative 3 generic Torrent or generic Arc, the only two ships that can take the dedicated talent, have a significant point difference from their initiative 2 cohort. And then they also would have to pay 3 points for dedicated. It's just absurd.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. So, like, the 7th Squad veteran in the ARC 170, that gets you the talent slot. It's only an I-3, though, and you have to pay a 5-point increase over the 104th Squadron generic, which is just not worth the value there, especially when you have to throw dedicated on there for another 3 points. Similar problem with the Blue Squadron Protector. It's only I-3. It's 4 more points over the Gold Squadron Trooper in the Torrent, and that's just not worth the points, or even as is, even without dedicated. And I'd like to see dedicated become playable just because it seems like kind of the signature ability of the Republic right now.
Right. That was one of the reasons I was really excited about the faction and then saw the points and go, oh, I guess I don't get to use that card. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think we could see Dedicated go down to like maybe 1 point, be kind of like Heroic over on the Resistance side. Just be that card people throw on ships, because it's a cool reroll ability defensively, but it has a pretty steep cost. So it's, I don't think it's broken as is, or even at 1 point. And I'd like to see those I3 generics on the Arc 170 and on the Torrent go down 2 points at least, maybe three.
Yeah, I'd like to see Dedicated be pushed here. Figure it out, FFG. All right, let's talk about those Jedi Starfighters. Particularly, I want to see non-Anakin Jedis be good.
Well, and I've been flying Obi-Wan a bit. I've switched over to Anakin. They're fun to fly. I think they're actually pretty fair points-wise as is with the 7B title. Like, Anakin should be expensive for 3-force and I-6, and a pilot ability that's AC but not overwhelming most of the time. He's about right, I think, with the 7B title. I think for the lower end, maybe excluding Obi-Wan, we should see a decrease in the cost of 7B. Just because, you know, it's such a steep cost right now. It starts at 18 with Anakin on the high end and then just goes down 1 point as you go down each initiative. So by the time you get to those generic Jedi Starfighters, you're not going to want to pay that many points for 7B.
Yeah, I think, you know, just with the 7Bs, the initiative 3 and 4 pilot Jedis, I think that's where there's a bit of an issue. I think, you know, I5, Obi-Wan, Anakin are pretty fine. I think if the lower initiatives just went down a point or two, that'd be fine.
Yeah, I mean, for the 7B title, because it basically, from initiative 3 to initiative 6, it scales from 15 to 18. I think the scaling should be from, you know, go like a 2 point spread rather than a 1 point.
Right. The scale really favored the higher initiative.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, if you're a Jedi and that title cost 12 points, suddenly it costs you about 51 points for a Jedi Knight, which seems like a good value. You're not going to be able to spam four of them in a list, so you don't have to worry about, you know, 6 hit point, 3 attack dice spam. But at the same time, that still seems like a solid value for initiative 3 and having that 1 force always up.
Right. Now, the thing with the Jedis I want to see more dramatically tweaked would be the calibrated laser targeting. The configuration that everyone tried the first week and then put away.
It's pretty good on the quick build Anakin, but quick build Anakin also gets supernatural reflexes.
That's fair.
So we know that's already a little broken. but this card spread. So this card allows you, when you're performing an attack, if the enemy's in your bullseye, you add a focus result, which seems to combine well with the Jedi on the surface level of they always have the force usually, so they can spend that force to change the hit. The problem is it takes up your config and your modification slot, and it's pretty expensive, especially on the high end or those middling pilots. Like if you're running initiative 4, it's 6 points. Running initiative 5, it's 8 points. And you really don't want to run it on Anakin because it's 10 points, and you might as well invest the other 8 to get 7B.
Right. I mean, and to set up the bullseye for that calibrated laser, you're probably going to be needing to use some repositioning actions, which means either you're not going to have force to modify it, or you're not going to have, you know, actions like focus or target lock to modify it.
Yeah, so I think we honestly could see the point scaling go down for this across the board, even for initiative 6.
I mean, the points on it were crazy high. When we look at heavy laser cannon, which has a comparable effect, you know, you get to roll 4 dice when in bullseye. You know, that is, I think, a lot better than calibrated laser and only costs 4 points.
Yeah, and that's a card that you can run on, you know, higher initiative aces like Poe. So I think it's a pretty fair comparison here that I don't think calibrated even on the high end should cost much more than that.
Right, and definitely on the low end, I think it should be like 1 or 2 points.
Yeah, basically free.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that initiative scaling still works well. I think you just want a much smaller bandwidth, you know, whether it's, you know, starting at 4 or 5 with Anakin and then just cutting down by 1 as you work your way down. I mean, you're also losing your mod slot. Like, this is a pretty tough card to use.
Yeah, and I think by, you know, a substantial decrease to that would help in the viability of non-7B Jedi Starfighters. Because I think that's been one of the sad points there, is I feel like all the Jedis that you want to use or that are viable in the game right now, you have to run the 7B title. And I think it would be cool if we could see some more of those non-7B Jedis with just the 3-hull, 1 shield, 2, 3 agility, 2 attack dice. Like, make that a more viable option for the game.
Right. And you can take the 7B when you want a heavy, you know, expensive ace, but to have calibrated be a viable option as well, I think would really open up the Republic's list diversity.
The last point, too, I want to make about the Republic, and I think this also kind of impacts the game as a whole. The Astromech R4 P17, which when you perform a red maneuver, you can spend a charge to perform an action even while stressed. It's got two charges. It's currently at 5 points. I'd like to see that go down. Right now, every time I run a Jedi, I end up running R2 Astromech to get the regen, just because that's only 4 points right now, and that's such a good value, being able to hold on to those extra points in your ship. I'd like to see R4 P17 go down to, I think 4 would be a good spot for it. And honestly, I think the generic R2 Astromech could probably go up either to 5 or back up to 6 where it was when we started.
Yeah, I think, you know, R4 P17 pushes play towards dynamic, exciting plays. R2 Astromech kind of just goes to boring, run away, get your shields back and win on time. So I'd like to see that go up and push the exciting cards.
And enough of my X-Wing games right now end up going to time and being determined by points. I'd like to actually start seeing some games close out and, you know, win with some players being totally destroyed. All right, so that's our take on what we're hoping to see in the upcoming points change. It's just less than a week away, so hopefully we'll have information on this soon. We can see how accurate me and Carson's expectations are and see if there are any surprise changes. If you think that we got something totally wrong or skipped over a ship that either needs to go up or down, let us know. Go on to facebook.com/radioTCX, find the post for episode 170, and let us know what ships need the biggest change.
And if you think Polyb also needs to go down by 10 points, let us know.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/radioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why others would be interested in listening.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us.
Again, folks, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.